I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving, not just with good food, but with good connections with family, and maybe most of all with prayerful gratitude to God, the giver of all good things. And today we begin a new year of goodness, a new church year. As Mother Nature dies into winter, and even the sun grows dimmer, the church restarts. Begins anew, reminding us that the dying of this world has no power over our divine life in Christ. The first reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah mentions Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem. Isaiah says, "From Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." We can hear, as I kind of alluded to at the beginning, also Isaiah as history, mystery, and majesty. Historically, the teaching of the Old Testament comes to us from Israel, from Jerusalem. Mystically, Jerusalem, or Zion, represents the church. And the teaching of Jesus in the New Testament goes out still today. From the church. Majestically, Zion also represents heaven, where the word of the Lord will go directly from God to the mind and heart of every believer. We need instruction on this earth, but in heaven, the will of God becomes second nature to us. Our responsorial psalm, Psalm 122, is a psalm for pilgrims going to Jerusalem. The first part of the psalm sings of the joy of going to the house of the Lord. The last part of the psalm sings of the importance to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And right in the middle is the key, or the focal point, so to speak, of the psalm, which explains the reason both for the joy and for the peace. We go with joy to the house of the Lord because that's where the seats or thrones of judgment are set up. We go there joyfully because we're confident in God's justice. And we know that peace flows only when the justice of God is established. Joy and peace because of God's justice. The second reading comes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and it gives us some suggestions with how you and I are to live out that justice of God. St. Paul writes to each one of us, "Throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." It's interesting that he uses light there as a metaphor for armor, the armor of light. Bring all of our deeds into the light, and that becomes an armor against the deeds of darkness. And St. Paul continues, "Let's conduct ourselves properly there, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy." He tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, put on Jesus, act as Christ would act. What would Jesus do? In the gospel, that Christ gives us a challenging way to act, a challenging teaching to put on for our lives. First, he compares the second coming to the flood in Noah's time. Interestingly, the Greek word that's here translated as flood is literally cataclysm. In those days, before the cataclysm, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They didn't know until the cataclysm came and carried them all away. That Greek word there, kataklysmos, exactly where we get cataclysm from. Literally, it means to overwhelm and wash away with water. To overwhelm and wash away with water. And the point is that a divine cataclysm includes both an ending as well as a beginning. Water is cataclysmic because it's both destructive and life-giving. And it's highly significant that Jesus uses this image of a cataclysmic flood to describe the second coming. In the very moment that Jesus, in the second coming, makes an end of one world, he makes the beginning of another. That's what happened in the flood, the cataclysm there. God made an end of sin and a new beginning of goodness with the eight people he saved on that ark. And that's why the flood is an image for baptism, which destroys sin and brings a new life of grace. The flood is an image of baptism, and both are images of the second coming. Jesus also describes himself in this gospel, in that second coming, as a thief. It's kind of a jarring image for us to think of Christ as a thief. A thief comes to our house by violence or by stealth in order to make what is ours his own. Can I steal your wallet? No? How about you? Yeah. This one might save our money problems. That one may not have. Now, really, if you gave it to me, it's not exactly stealing anymore, is it? But it is still mine. Unless I give it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know about if I would have given it back to you or not. But that's precisely the point. So often we cling to our stuff in this life. And most of all, we cling to our life in this life. And Jesus comes to make what is ours into his. But what if we were ready for the thief? Not to keep him out, but to let him in. In the final few months before St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower saint, right before she died of tuberculosis, she kept a little journal, and she wrote in it, "It's said in the gospel that God will come like a thief. He will come to steal me away in the nicest way possible. Oh, how I'd love to aid that thief." And a few days later, after she'd had another attack and had coughed up a fair amount of blood, one of her fellow sisters said to her, "Are you afraid of the thief? This time he is at the door." And Thérèse replied, "No, he's not at the door. He's already come in. But how could I be afraid of someone I love so much?" And then shortly before her death, a few days later, she wrote, "I was thinking I should be a deer and wait for the thief very quietly." When our divine thief says to stay awake, he means to be ready to be taken. He uses the image of two people out in the field, two men out in the field or two women at the mill. They're doing the same thing. Externally, they're just doing their job. They're working away just like we do, day in and out. Eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, working in the field, working at the mill. One was taken, one was left. There was a difference in how they were prepared interiorly. We need to prepare ourselves interiorly for the coming of our thief. St. Thérèse realized he means for us, Jesus means for us, to let the thief in ahead of time like she did, to stop clinging to what is his already now, And I think that's what St. Paul means elsewhere in the New Testament when he writes to use the stuff of this world as though it's not ours. Be ready to let it go when the divine thief comes to take it and ultimately comes to take us. Welcome the thief. And more importantly, love him. So here's the homework for the week. If the divine thief came to your house this week, what would you willingly give him? What would he have to steal from your clinging hands? So this week, strive to be less clingy in the presence of our good and beloved thief.